James chapter 4 for our text this morning. For those of you who are just joining us, we have been working our way through the book of James, essentially verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine, chapter by chapter. And this is message 75, and our text for this morning is verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Well, last week we started this new section, verses 7 through 10. And discussing this section after our first lesson on it, talked to a brother who had recognized some correspondence to the Sermon on the Mount. And there were a number of items that he brought to my attention, such as purify your hearts would correspond to blessed are the pure in heart. And then the imperatives here to mourn and weep, blessed are they that mourn. And there were a number of references or correspondence to the Beatitudes. And in studying James, I found that to be quite true, that James, the brother or half-brother of our Lord, very frequently refers or brings his ideas from the Sermon on the Mount. And here we have a section of Scripture that does just that, or at least in part. Now here James is calling on his readers, and therefore he's calling on all Christians to return to God. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 4, he has rebuked his readers for their worldliness, their bickering, their infighting, their worldly lust and covetousness, their hatred of one another. And he even refers to this hatred as murder, spiritual murder. They were in league with the world by this kind of conduct. And their friendship of the world was an offense to God. For to be a friend of the world, James tells us in verse 4, is to be an enemy of God. In verses 5 and 6, he reminds his readers of the Holy Spirit that dwells in them, and how God gives greater grace than all the allurement of this world, than all the attraction of this world, and the temptations of the evil one. Greater grace he gives, greater than the kingdom of darkness and the wiles of the devil, greater than all that the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he says, now you need to rectify this. You need to rectify your worldly condition. Leave off your love of the world. Leave off your double-mindedness. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now James proves his point in verse 6 by quoting Proverbs 3:34. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Don't try to justify your worldliness. Don't try to make excuses for your worldliness. Humble yourself before the Lord. Renounce your pride, for he resisteth the proud. And then James, now in verse 7, launches into an urgent call, a call to repentance. And this is articulated by 10 aorist imperatives in the original language. What is an aorist imperative? Aorist imperative is a commandment that has urgency, a commandment that is to be immediately obeyed. And he gives us 10 of these aorist imperatives. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Secondly, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Third, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Fourth, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Fifth, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Sixth, be afflicted. Seventh, mourn. Eighth, weep. Nine, turn your laughter in the morning and your joy to heaviness. And 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. With these 10 imperatives, James calls upon his readers to correct their worldliness. Return to God. Return to God. These 10 commandments flow directly from the quotation of Proverbs 3:34. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then they end with verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. James begins and ends his exhortation and this string of 10 aorist imperatives by two bookends. Humility. Humility and humility are the bookends of our Christian conduct. And humility forms the basis and foundation of our Christian duty. Now I want to look now at the first imperative in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The verb submit, hupotasso, in the Greek, it's a compound verb from hupo, meaning under, and tasso, meaning to arrange or order. And hence it means literally to put in order under. Thus, to order your lives under the authority of God's Word. It's nothing less than an imperative to obey God. To submit yourself to God means to place yourself under His lordship. As a Christian, you need to come to terms. Every Christian needs to come to terms with whether God's going to rule your life or not. Because if He doesn't, you have no warrant to call yourself a Christian. To submit is to recognize the lordship and authority of another. The Christian's relationship to Christ is that of both Lord and Savior, not just Savior. James' command to submit unto God is not a selective command directed only to the spiritual Christian, as they so call it in the carnal Christian heresy. There is no exemption for the so-called carnal Christian here. This commandment is specifically directed to those Christians who have become too worldly. Those who have slipped back into the friendship of the world. To those who have committed spiritual adultery. And James says, submit yourselves to God. And I want to briefly consider two aspects of submitting unto God. One, what it is to submit to God. And two, submission as a state of the heart. So first, what it is to submit unto God. To submit yourself to God is to resign yourself to His will. To give ourselves to be governed by God's will and according to His good pleasure. And to rest in His sovereign wisdom and determination for our lives. To give up ourselves to the will of God without any reservation. All our thoughts, all our actions, all our affections, to be controlled by God and His Word. Can you and I subject all to Christ, all the whole person to Christ, without hesitancy and without any reluctance? Can we do that? James is calling upon us to do that. In the 11 o'clock hour, our pastor has been dealing with designations of God's people. And one of the designations of God's people is that of a doulos, that is, a willing bond slave of Christ. And a willing bond slave is one whose will has been swallowed up in the will of his master. And in a very gracious and glorious sense, the Christian is a slave of Christ. We serve our Master. And we do the will of our Master. And the whole purpose of our life is to fulfill the will of our Master, who is the Lord of glory. God's will should be the most important thing to us as Christians. And there's no better word to illustrate what it is to submit unto God than that of a doulos, a willing bond slave. For in essence, salvation is a change of masters. We no longer serve sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. We serve a new master. When God regenerated our heart and caused us to be His children, He became our new master. We no longer serve sin. We've been delivered from the power of sin. Romans 6, 16 through 20. And I'll just read you this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now we are the servants of righteousness and we are freed from sin. You see, salvation is a change of masters. We serve the living God. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ and we are His bondservants. And if we are still serving sin, if we are still living disobedient before God, there's no evidence that God has ever changed your heart, that God has ever regenerated your heart. Obedience is one of the preeminent tests of true faith. Are you obedient to God? Have you submitted yourself unto God? Secondly, as we consider what it is to submit ourselves to God, as we've just spoken of, to submit yourself to God is to be obedient to His Word. God's Word is the very expression of His will. And God is the author of Scripture. And as such, it is to have absolute authority over our lives. God created man in the beginning to be subject to His law, to live under His law. Man was originally created righteous in God's moral image, with a moral integrity and rectitude that delighted in God's law. But man fell, because he wanted to be autonomous and to determine for himself what is right and wrong. He wanted to live independently from God. And the consequence of that was the curse of the fall. And now every man is born in sin. He lives in rebellion to God and against God's law. Every man is a lawmaker, a lawbreaker. And he is a lawbreaker by nature. God did not create us that way. That was due to man's sin. God created man righteous. And in that state of original righteousness, Adam loved God's law. He delighted in walking with God and having communion with God according to God's commandments. He loved righteousness. This is the way God created man. And when the image of God is restored into sinful man at his regeneration, man is to submit to God and to obey God in his commandments, to obey all of God's commandments, all of his word in its entirety. Submission to God and to submission to God's will is very comprehensive. We can't just pick and choose a few. Our obedience must be extensive and reach unto all the commandments of the Lord. For our Master's stamp of authority is on every commandment and duty of Scripture. And they are equally binding unto us. The psalmist said, David said, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." They are God's commandments, thy commandments, and come to us, his creatures, his children, with absolute authority. As a father to his children. And he says, "When I have respect unto all thy commandments." Not just a few. Not just those that are convenient for us. Those that may profit us and give us respect before men. Do you have respect unto all God's commandments? Or just the ones that are convenient for you? If that's the case, if your obedience is selective, then you have not submitted yourselves to God. Obedience to Christ is not selective. We do not have the prerogative to pick and choose. The commandments of God are not a cafeteria. You walk through the line and pick the ones you like. Partial obedience is no obedience at all, because it shows your heart's not right before God. You haven't submitted yourself before God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And Christ is the king of the kingdom of God. We are his subjects. And a subject is to be subject to his king. There's no other way to say it. How easily we wander from this very simple concept. We have a king, and we're subject to that king. We are citizens of his kingdom. How easily we wander from it. Well, as we consider submit yourselves unto God, I want to consider the second part, which is submission to God is a state of the heart. The Lord wants our heart. He doesn't just want mere outward conformity. And submission to God is seated in the heart. So first, as we consider this, submission to God is an expression of our love to Him. By submitting and obeying Christ, we are in fact expressing our love to Him. It is an expression of our gratitude to Christ for all that He has done for us. His love for us. In the Gospel of John 14:15, we read, Christ says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then in 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." If you genuinely love Christ, you will obey him. You will submit to him. Obedience then is a sincere desire to do those things which are pleasing to God. That our joy and delight is in pleasing God. God loved me and gave his Son for me to die for me to pay my sin debt. And I should be able to obey him and subject myself to him. The Christian should say, "I want to do those things that are pleasing to my King." You see, we obey Christ out of a sense of gratitude for all that he has done. And it's infinite in value for what he has done. But I said, just by way of observation, in my own personal experience, there is a tendency, perhaps in the back of our minds, that perceives the obligation to obey God's law as a heavy burden. As if it is some kind of drudgery. And hence, we began to suppress the duties that Christ requires of us. And our heart soon becomes hardened to the desire to make God's word the rule of our lives. You see, there is a proneness to stray from the ways of God. And to the degree that we view God's commandments as a drudgery, to that degree we have gone back to the world and have become, as James says, double-minded and proud. You can only serve one master. You cannot serve God and mammon, Christ taught us. The distinctive characteristic of a child of God is that he obeys God and takes delight in obeying God. And it's his priority to obey God. And he watches himself that he doesn't disobey God. Secondly, submission to God is to be willing to obey God. It has been said, willingness is the soul of obedience. David said in Psalm 119:60, "I made haste, I delayed not to keep thy commandments." Obedience to David was something that he could not delay. He could not procrastinate. He must not put it off. He must make haste to keep God's commandments. That's being willing, is it not? This was the heart of David. And this should be the heart of every believer. David is saying, "I hurried. I immediately responded. I did not procrastinate. I made haste." Here you see the willingness of David to submit unto God. Perhaps he knew his heart too well, that if he procrastinated, his firm resolution would soon wane. If he procrastinated, his heart would become more hardened, and his convictions would leave him. He would not delay. He immediately obeyed God. This is the willingness of David to submit unto God. It was a matter of his heart. And secondly, or thirdly, submission to God is cheerful. Submission to God is to delight in God's commandments. That's the expression of a loving heart. David says, "Oh, how I love thy law." And again he says, "Thy law is my delight." And again, concerning the commandments, "They are the rejoicing of my heart." You see, they were not grievous to David. They were not burdensome. There was this glory and splendor in the law of God that expressed God's moral character, that he rejoiced in, that he delighted in. Do you delight in God's character? Do you delight in God's moral character? And submission to God in the fourth place is sincere. Our submission to God is not with ulterior motives. We do not submit to God to receive the praise and respect of men. We do not submit to God in order to put a veil of spirituality upon us, as if we were spiritual or more spiritual than we really are. That's what pride is, to make yourself out something that you really are not. Submission is to glorify God. And that's our only motive. The Christian does all things to the glory of God. Submitting ourselves to God is being faithful to his glory. It should be the desire of every Christian's heart to glorify God. And you can't glorify God without submitting unto God. Okay. I just want to make one gospel connection here. We have characterized submitting to God as a state of the heart. It is an expression of our love to God, a willingness to obey him. It is cheerful and it is sincere. This does not describe the heart of the unregenerate or the natural man. A submissive heart is the work of God. Man cannot naturally submit unto God. His heart must be changed. The old unregenerate man must be crucified. The reigning power of sin must be broken. The principle of spiritual life implanted into the soul of a dead corpse, being recreated, created anew, and the restoration of the image of God in man. Without this, man cannot possibly submit himself unto God. He remains in that fallen state, in rebellion to God. You must be born again. That's the prerequisite to submission to God. You must be born again. Man is unable to submit to God without it. But on the other hand, God has revealed his will in Scripture. And that will that he has revealed in Scripture is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to turn and repent from your sins. There are two gospel commands. These two, believe and repent. And God calls upon all men everywhere to repent and to believe. And you're culpable for this. You're responsible for believing in Christ. And you will suffer the wrath if you do not submit to these commandments, these gospel commandments. Faith is a gift of God. And you need to beg God for saving faith. You cannot save yourself. Salvation is of the Lord and entirely a work of the God. And all you can do is fall on your face and ask God for mercy. Amen. Like the publican who beat his chest repeatedly and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if God has brought you to that point, then you need to know that God or Christ is ready to forgive. Everyone that sincerely comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Come to Christ. Christ preached at the Feast of the Tabernacles, and He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you see yourself condemned of God? Come to Christ. Come to Christ. That's the call of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for these 10 commands of returning to God and pray that you would give us spiritual insight into their meaning. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.